Well, let's start with you, Curtis. I mean, you had a meeting this weekend. We all know that the FBI and the CIA and FEMA and all those folks can't get their act together. But we also know it's hard for our own movement to get its act together. Why don't you talk about how the meeting went and focus now maybe on demands first. As they say, or as they used to say in the 60s, what is it that you people want? So what would be your alternative demands on the Bush administration, your alternative demands on the Louisiana state legislature? Where's this movement going?
Well, Eric, you know, I'm going to give you our four or five demands that we have, but there's one demand that's surfacing that we are making it our number one piece. And I think our government, whether it's the state, local, or federal, are guilty of violating this demand. And that is, what we watched were dark-skinned poor people 6 days being denied the right to leave out of a flooded zone. A flooded zone that we are still not sure was accidental or by Katrina or by intentional. Is that what was going on there is a disrespect for poor black people. And we are demanding that from everyone, that never in the history of this country have we seen such disrespect for our people since, I don't even know if this was true in slavery. And we are now beginning to note that, not only by our government, but by our communities, by black people even, the disrespect and the actual hatred that people have for poor black folk. And we are demanding that this movement for restoration of our people to their homes, this movement to renovate homes, to clean up our town, this movement to reconstruct New Orleans, be led by the people who were the most victims. This is part of our demand, that the money is being collected in their names, no matter where it came from, whether it came from taxpayers, whether it came from international governments, people gave this money because they saw dying black folk on television for 6 days. But because people don't have trust and respect for black folk, they don't have the ability to demand that we lead our reconstruction. They think we're too dumb, too stupid, too lazy, whatever. But we are demanding, first, these are our demands. First, the government must provide funds for all families to be reunited. The database of FEMA must be made public because they're hiding our people from us. Our second demand is the more than $50 billion, now it's almost up to $100 billion, I hear, belongs to the victims of Hurricane Katrina. We demand a victims' compensation fund, as was done after 9/11 for the people in the World Trade Center in New York City. Sure. Third, the People's Committee demands representation on all boards that are making decisions on spending public dollars for relief and reconstruction. We also demand that those most affected by Hurricane Katrina be part of the planning process. Fourth, we demand public work jobs for the displaced workers and residents of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. We must take a lead in the rebuilding of our communities. The jobs must be at union wages so that our population is no longer characterized by extreme poverty. Lastly, and this is five rather than four demands, lastly, we demand transparency in the entire reconstruction process. Citizens must know where all the monies are being spent and with whom they are being spent. And that's it. I mean, but we know that's going to be an uphill battle. The mayor has already said he hoped the poor and black don't return. We got people out there representing us with the government, with FEMA, saying, oh, give us, we with you, go ahead and buy trailers for our people. And pretty soon we'll come out with a press statement to tell you who those people are. We're just waiting until we have approval from our collective here on the ground.
Well, I think that's great because, I mean, obviously one of the things in supporting the national liberation, the self-determination of black people, is we also know there's a class struggle within every community, and that struggle doesn't have to be to the death, but there is a struggle. There's different interests represented. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we know where we're worried about, we've heard this is going on in Atlanta too, is that we had this after the rebellion in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Certain people coming in, certain churches, certain mm-hmm. people saying, give me a federal grant, give me a local grant,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, coming out of the meeting in South Carolina, what are some of the obstacles you can share with us, Curtis, of these are terrific demands. You've provided tremendous leadership on these demands.
Mm-hmm.
What are going to be some of the problems and obstacles to achieving them, and what are some of your plans to move, to be recognized as the spoke, not you personally, but Community Labor United? How do you get recognized as at least an alternate voice to the black establishment, frankly?
Well, I think it's going to be a fight that not only we have to wage, but our friends have to wage. We think progressive people understand that our struggle should be rooted in the agenda of the poor. In this case, the poor black. The problem with our movement, even, is that we have never been able to figure that out because of our internal racism within our movement. We've never in recent years been able to submit our work to the agenda and leadership of poor black people, even though it is very clear that they've always been the most oppressed and the most neglected and rejected. This is one of those situations where it is crystal clear that who the people are from whom we should take our lead, and that are those who we saw dying in the Superdome and in the convention centers of New Orleans. Now, we can't do what Bush did, ride horses and take his dog to the vet and go to birthday parties and be on vacation while we die. We can't. Our movement can't do that. This is an opportunity for our movement to declare once and for all that we are on the side of the oppressed, the poor, in this case, the black. And we are holding everybody's foot to the fire on that question. So our meeting, our retreat this weekend was the same. Some of us understood that question. Some of us were looking for an opportunity to use this situation of a rubber stamp for their own agendas. But we made it clear at that retreat that we expect our movement to submit to the leadership of the poor and the black, that the people who have been thrown out of their homes, that our primary work is to find them, to organize them, bring them back to an assembly, let them, hear their stories, and use their stories to determine our reconstruction agenda. That's a heavy order for people who don't like poor black people. But that's what we're calling for. And we're ready to fight about that one, my brother.
Well, you know, we sent Francisca Porches and Lee Waller, who came from our own organization, down there,
mm-hmm.
and they came to support, not to take over lead or any other such thing, but to come. And one of the reasons we want to do that is because when you come up on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a lot of groups here from unions, from churches,
mm-hmm.
that want to provide help with the Congressional Black Caucus, such as Maxine Waters and
mm-hmm.
Diane Watson, who want to help provide some national support for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. And then, and frankly, we use this show all the time to give
mm-hmm.
It's on www.kpfk.org. People mm-hmm. can, at 7 o'clock at night, I think, in New Orleans time, right? Is that right?
Right. Yeah, we're 2 hours ahead of you.
Yeah, 2 hours. So at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m., they can use it.